As we mentioned this morning, tonight's lesson is going to be one of request. And as I mentioned this morning, I was recently approached by one of the older ladies of our congregation here in regard to the topic of how an older woman is to conduct herself in order to be pleasing to God. And after she had shared with me an old bulletin article that was written over 20 years ago on the topic, which she had just recently came across, she then said that she would like to hear a sermon on how an older woman can be pleasing to God. At first, when I heard that request, I was a little hesitant about standing before a congregation that has many older ladies to present an admonition to them. But then I got to thinking about Paul's instruction to Titus, and the instruction that Titus, a young preacher, was given to admonish older women and how they are to be pleasing to God. And that's going to be the blueprint of our text for our study tonight. We're going to spend the majority of our time tonight there in the book of Titus, as Steve so ably read for us a few moments ago, those verses there, in regard to things that are proper for sound doctrine. And it's important to note that although this study tonight is primarily going to be focused on an admonition to older women, there are some things that we're going to talk about tonight that can be applicable to all of us here this evening. There's some things that's going to be applicable not only to the older women, but also the younger women. And there's some things that can even be applicable to us who are men here tonight. And we need to be mindful of those things as we go through this series of study tonight on an admonition to older women. So upon the request, and again, I thank Sandy for that request. The more that I got to thinking about this topic, the more I think that it was a very, very appropriate topic that needs to spend some time in study about. And I appreciate that request, and I appreciate all requests. Anytime someone has a sermon request, please feel free to let me know. I appreciate that. I had another request recently about some questions concerning baptism. And Lord willing, next Sunday, we're going to have a sermon on that. So certainly appreciate anytime someone has a request. And upon the request of our sermon tonight, we're going to take some time to go to God's all-inspired word, and we're going to take a look at God's admonition to older women. And going back to the text there in Titus 2, which Steve so ably read for us a few moments ago, we learn where older women are instructed to be reverent in behavior. It's important to note that to be reverent in behavior refers to a behavior that is worthy of respect due to the quality of life that one lives. You see, those who are reverent in behavior, they're going to be those who are moral. They're going to be those who are devoted to God. And they're going to be one who make His will their will. And when a woman is reverent in behavior, she'll behave in such a way outwardly that reflects a heart that is devoted to serving God inwardly. We get a picture of this there in 1 Peter chapter 3. Open your Bibles up there to 1 Peter chapter 3. And here we can understand by the words that are recorded here by Peter that when a woman is reverent in behavior, she behaves in such a way that outwardly that reflects a heart that is devoted to serving God inwardly. And notice these words of Peter to women. Beginning here in verse 1, he says, "Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." There we get a picture of a woman who is reverent in behavior, about how that's going to be manifest in her actions. You see, a woman who is reverent in behavior, she's going to conduct herself in a proper manner, isn't she? And she's going to be a woman who is going to be submissive to her husband. She's going to respect his authority that he has over her as being the husband, the head of the home. She's going to be one who is going to show her respect, her reverence for God. And it's going to show in the way she dresses and in the way she conducts herself. But I also want you to notice something else that we learn here in this text about a woman who is reverent in behavior. We learn that those that are reverent in behavior, those who are those who have that incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, how they are very precious in the sight of God. You see that, ladies? When you take heed to the instruction that is found there in Titus chapter 2, and you strive to be one who is reverent in behavior, you're going to be one who's pleasing in the sight of God. And to be simply put, an older woman who is pleasing to God will be a woman who possesses a demeanor, manner of conduct and conversation that is godly. Going back there to Titus chapter 2, fast forwarding down there, after Paul gives Titus this instruction to share with older men, older women, the younger women and younger men. He goes on to write there in verse 11, he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Now watch verse 12. He says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." You see, a woman who is reverent in behavior, she's going to be one who understands that God's grace has appeared to her. She's going to be one who's going to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. She's going to be one who lives soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And she's going to be one who's going to look for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's what it looks like to be reverent in behavior. And women who are reverent in behavior will be one who behave in such a way outwardly that reflects a heart that is devoted to serving God inwardly. But next we go on to see there in Titus 2 where older women are instructed not to slander. They're instructed not to be false accusers. And it's important to note that W.E. Vine defines a slanderer as one who is given to finding fault with the demeanor and conduct of others and spreading their innuendos and criticisms. You see, simply put, a slander is one who spreads wrong and hurtful information about someone else. And God's word informs us that whoever spreads slander is a fool. We learn about that in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18. And here the apostle is given instruction to older women not to be one who slanders, not to be one who makes false accusations. You see, for whatever reason, older women are probably a little bit more prone to this weakness. For whatever reason, Paul mentioned here in Titus 2 in regard to this instruction to older women that they not be slanders. Because of the fact that, for whatever reason, older women are probably more prone to gossip, more prone to spreading information that's not accurate. And it's because of that we need to be mindful, ladies, of the need not to be a slander. Need to be mindful of the need not to be going around spreading wrong and hurtful information about others. Again, we don't really know the reason why older women are more prone to this weakness. Perhaps it's because they are those who have a little bit more free time on their hands. Perhaps it's because they already have their children raised and they're out of the house. And because of that, they're given to transfer their attentiveness to scrutinizing other people and their children. And they want to focus more time on criticizing the behavior of others and their children since their children's out of the house. It could be because this behavior is more prone to older women because they get lonely. They don't have anything better to do. Whatever the reason, there's no excuse for it. And it shouldn't be. And Paul makes that very clear that if a woman is going to be pleasing to God, they are instructed to not be a slanderer. You see, I want us to notice, again, as we talked about earlier in this lesson, this is something that applies for all of us. Whether we're a woman or a man, whether we're young or old, we all need to beware of slander. We all need to beware of making false accusations and hurtful criticisms towards others. And we all need to be careful not to spread false and hurtful information. You see, it's interesting to point out that the Greek word that is translated slander here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3 is the word diablos, which, by the way, is the same word used to describe the devil in John chapter 8 and verse 44. I don't know about you, but when I learned that as I was going through this study, that caught my attention. That caught my attention that the word slander translated here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, that word diablos, that Greek word, is the very same Greek word that is used to describe the devil there in John 8:44. Now let that sink in for a moment. Let that marinate upon your mind. You see, the point is when one allows themselves to become involved in slander or gossip, they set out to do service for Satan in destroying others. Therefore, if one is to be pleasing in God's sight, they will not slander others or gossip about them. Again, take note of that, each and every one. Be mindful of the fact that when we go around gossiping about others, when we go around falsely criticizing others, making false accusations about them, we're not doing service to God. Rather, we're doing service for the devil. And we need to be aware of that. And we need to avoid that. But another admonition that is given there to older women in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3 is the admonition to not be given to much wine. It's important to note that the phrase "not given to much wine" simply indicates the need to abstain from intoxicating drink and to not become enslaved to it. You see, when you do a little history on the people of Crete in the first century, you learn that it has been often noted that older people in Crete have been known to turn to intoxicating drink to cope with the pains and the frustrations and loneliness of life. It's been noted that people in Crete, they struggled with the pains and the frustrations, the loneliness of life. And because of that, They were known and prone to turn to intoxicating drink. The Apostle Paul was aware of that. And therefore, he instructs older women not to do that. He tells them, don't be given to much wine. Simply put, he tells them, abstain from intoxicating drink. Do not become enslaved to it. You see, this is important because as we learn there in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, that the fact that those who are led astray by wine and strong drink are those who are not wise. Those who become enslaved to an intoxicating drink and are led astray by it, the Bible says they're not wise. And the Bible even goes on to tell us that those who become enslaved to intoxicating drink, they commit sin. Did you know that? Did you know that drunkenness is a sin? And if you are one who becomes enslaved to intoxicating drink, you commit sin. And unless there is repentance, one will not be permitted to enter into heaven. That's serious, isn't it? You see, Paul teaches us this there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And there Paul simply asked the question. He said, do you not know that that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He then goes on to say, do not be deceived. Simply put, Paul says, don't be fooled. Don't think that's going to happen because it's not. And then he goes on to give a list of unrighteousness, those who practice such, how they will not be permitted to enter the kingdom of God. Guess who's listed among that list? Drunkards. Those who become enslaved to intoxicating drink. And that is exactly why Paul would have instructed these older women to abstain from intoxicating drink. Do not become enslaved to it. Because if an older woman is going to be one who is going to be pleasing to God, she's going to have to be one who devotes herself to honorably serving God rather than giving way to their fleshly desires. You see, when one becomes enslaved to intoxicating drink, there's many dangers involved in that. Not only do they put their soul at stake, but we also learn about some of those consequences of intoxicating drink there in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 29 through 35. And in that text, we learn about how it bites like a serpent, stings like a viper. We learn about how those who are given to intoxicating drink, how they will see strange things. We learn how their mouth will utter perverse things. And there in verse 35 of Proverbs 23, we learn where their focus is going to be. Those who are given to intoxicating drink and enslave themselves to it, where's their focus going to be? What's the wise man tell us there in verse 35? It's going to be upon where they're going to get that next drink. They're not going to be able to do anything or focus about anything but that next drink. You see the importance of this instruction? You see the importance for the instruction to be one who abstains from intoxicating drink? The importance to be one who does not allow yourself to become enslaved to intoxicating drink? Because your focus is not going to be where it is when you allow that to happen. Where it needs to be when you allow that to happen. It's going to be upon that where you're going to get that next drink instead of upon God where it needs to be. And if a woman or anyone in general is going to be pleasing to God, they need to devote themselves to honorably serving God rather than to giving way to their fleshly desires. When I think about that, I think about the instruction of Peter found there in 1 Peter chapter 2. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 Peter chapter 2. And notice these words of the inspired apostle beginning there in verse number 11. There Peter writes, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Hold on to those words of Peter. Don't be a people who give in to fleshly desires which war against the soul. And be one who is not given too much wine. Be one who abstains from intoxicating drink. One who does not become enslaved to it. But another admonition that is given to older women there in Titus chapter 2 is older women are instructed to be teachers of good things. We see that there in verses 3 through 5 of Titus 2. We see that the older women, that there are not only to be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, but they're to be teachers of good things. Primarily and specifically, instruction here is given for them to be teachers to the younger women. They're to admonish the young women, as we see there in verse 4. It's important that we take some time to talk about that word admonish for a moment and understand what that word means and what that involves. You see, to admonish expresses the need to encourage and to train. And this kind of teaching or training is going to require some specific characteristics. It's going to require love. It's going to require patience. It's going to require gentleness. And it's going to require self-control. All of which are the fruit of the Spirit, as we learn about there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. You see, older ladies, they are not to be going around tearing down the younger ladies, but rather they're to be going around building up the younger ladies. They're to be going around training the younger ladies to be women who are pleasing and acceptable in God's sight. And you see, this instruction is given to the older women to be teachers to the younger ladies because of the fact that the older ladies, they've had some experience in life, haven't they? They've lived a lot longer in this world and experienced more things in this world than what some of the younger ladies have, haven't they? And it's because of that, it is, as the old saying goes, they've been there, done that. And we need to be mindful of something, that when you have experience paired with biblical wisdom, it's of great value. I want you to think about that. When experience is coupled with biblical wisdom, that's valuable. And that's why, ladies, those of you who are more mature, that's why it's important that you recognize the responsibility that is given to you to be those who encourage and train the younger ladies. You see, rather than complain and criticize the younger ladies, the older ladies should serve them by encouraging them and by teaching them how to be women who please God. That's what God's will for the older women is. His will is for them not to go around and complain and criticize the younger women, but His goal is for them to go around and encourage, build them up, train them, teach, guide them to be women who are pleasing to Him. And one of those things that we learn in this text that they are to be a teacher of is they are to teach the young women to love their husbands, as we see here in verse 4. Again, older women, they've had a lot more experience than the younger women as being a wife. And it's because of that they need to share their knowledge and their experiences with the younger women in regard to how to love their husbands. They need to teach them to be ladies who submit to the authority of their husbands. They need to teach them to respect the authority of their husbands. We learn about that in Ephesians chapter 5. We see that that is God's design for the home. The man is the head of the wife. And because of that, women need to learn to show their love to their husbands by respecting them, by submitting to their authority. But not only do they need to love their husbands, but the older women are also needed to teach young women to love their children. Again, they need to be teaching the young ladies how to behave not only toward their husbands, but also toward their children. You see, there are some young ladies who struggle as being young parents. I'll be honest, it's not easy being a parent of young children. It can be challenging, very challenging. And it is because of that sometimes us who are young parents and even young mothers need to seek the counsel of the older women who have been there, done that. The older women who have successfully raised their children to be faithful in the Lord. Need to look to women like that, young ladies. And don't be afraid to go to them and ask them for some advice. You see, older women, when you see a younger parent struggling with their children, or maybe even with their husband, when you see a young woman struggling, don't just go up to her and grab her by an arm and put your finger in her face and shake that in her face and say, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that. That's not the approach to take. But rather be one who goes up to them and encourage them with those characteristics that we talked about earlier, with love, patience, gentleness, and self-control. Encourage them. Give them some advice on how to be a better wife to their husband, on how to be a better mother to their children. Give them some corrective criticism. Be one who doesn't just go there and tear them down, but go there with the intent to build them up. Encourage them. Give them the proper advice that they need to help them through whatever crisis they're going through at that time with their husband or with their children. You see, I'm mindful of something I witnessed a few years ago. I witnessed a younger woman talking very rudely about her husband. She was saying some awful things about him. And one of the younger, or older women rather, of the congregation intervened and goes up to that young lady. And she gently put her hand on her arm. And she says, oh honey, don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. In the kindest, gentlest way possible, she rebuked her. And let her know that she should never speak a foul word to anyone about her husband. She let her know that she needed to be one who expresses her love to her husband and not her frustrations about her husband to others. And when I witnessed that, my attention immediately went to Titus chapter 2. You see, that was a woman, an older woman, who did what she was instructed to do. She went to that younger woman and she expressed the need for her to be one who loved her husband. Not one who expresses frustration towards him, but one who expresses love towards him. And we need to take note of that lesson, older ladies. Remember that you have the responsibility to teach the younger ladies how to behave, not only toward their husbands, but also toward their children. And you want to know the best way that you can teach that? By being an example. Let the younger ladies see the love that you demonstrate towards your husband. Let the younger ladies see how you handle your children and your grandchildren. Let them see that. Teach them to do that. Encourage them and help them along the way. And younger ladies, I want to give you a piece of advice while we're here. I understand as a young person, marriage is not always easy. There's some rough patches that come along the way. As I already expressed earlier, I know that being a parent is not easy. There's some frustrations and difficulties that come along the way. And it's because of that, younger ladies, that I want you to be mindful of the need that when you're in a situation like that, know that you don't have to go it alone. Know that you have some good, godly, older ladies here at this congregation that would be more than willing to sit and talk with you, give you some advice, and help you along the way. Take advantage of that. And when you get in that position, seek out one of the older ladies here. Ask them for some advice, some guidance on how you can be a better wife and a better mother. But another thing that the older women are to teach the young women is they are to teach them to behave as a Christian woman in general. They are to teach them to be discreet, to be chaste. That simply means to be pure in all areas of life. They're to teach them to be homemakers. That is, they need to be mindful of their priority to give attention to their husbands and to their children above any other secular job. Their job, their number one priority needs to be to their husband and to their children. Too many women today, they get that wrong, don't they? They want to put a career before their family. And the older women need to remind the younger women and teach them that they need to put their family before any career. They need to be those women who give the proper and necessary care and attention to their husbands and their children. And they need to be teaching them to be good, that is to be good-natured and kind and considerate and obedient to their husbands, as we see there in verse 5. Again, God's Word emphasizes the need for women to submit and obey their husbands in the Lord. And again, sometimes there are women today who get that wrong. There are some women today who want to wear the pants, so to speak, in the home. They want to call the shots. They want to be the ones telling everybody else how it's going to be and making the rules. But the Bible makes it very clear that the man is to be the head of the home. He's the leader of the home. And it is because of that that the older women need to be reminding the younger women of the need to respect and to obey their husband's authority that they have over them. And here's the thing. The whole purpose of this admonition is that the word of God may not be blasphemed, as we see there in verse number 5. You see, how grave then the instruction. How grave, ladies, the instruction when you put that in perspective. Think about that. You see, because there's not a one of us who ever want our lives to reflect a life that is one that is going to disrespect God and His Word. We don't ever want that to be said of us, do we? And that's why it's important that the older women recognize how they need to conduct themselves in order to be pleasing to God, and why they need to be teaching the younger women to to likewise conduct themselves in a manner that is pleasing to God, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. I hope this lesson has been beneficial to all, especially to the older ladies. And ladies, may you always remember, if you want to make a difference for Christ, and if you want to be well-pleasing in the sight of God, you can do so simply by taking heed to and properly applying God's admonition to the older women, as we have studied here tonight. But not only do we desire for older women to be well-pleasing in the sight of God, the desire is for all to be well-pleasing to the sight of God. And God's desire is for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth, as we see in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. And if there would happen to be one here this evening who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, you're encouraged to do that this very hour. For if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ before men, and you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can be on your way to being pleasing in the sight of God. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus has promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this evening who has already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you haven't been faithful. You've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and get on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. And if you would like to enlist the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this evening, who would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever that need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song David selected.